views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Shines on Lyme disease. Limelight Radio with Katina Macris is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential to expand awareness and activate change to eliminate Lyme disease for good. Limelight Radio is a much-needed venue for the USA's number one fastest-spreading infectious illness. Katina is an award-winning author, a natural healthcare practitioner with over 30 years' experience, and most importantly, a healing force with her own personal Lyme journey. Be part of a movement to help end the suffering and confusion surrounding Lyme disease and begin to take action. Now here's your host, Katina Macris.
Then I go to my brother.
Welcome to Limelight Radio, everyone. Good afternoon. This is Katina Macris, and I am broadcasting live this week from beautiful Ojai, California. Aren't I a lucky one? And I hope you've been enjoying our new format with alternating weeks with my guest host, Mara Williams. I think she's done a great job so far. So this week you've got me, and I've got two great guests. We're going to first meet with Natalie London, who I'm going to bring on in a few seconds here. And then the second half of the show, we have from Scotland, we've got Bruce Alexander. So it's my pleasure to be able to broadcast all around the globe and keep this dialogue going weekly about the world's fastest spreading infectious illness, Lyme disease, and all the co-infections. We've got so much to learn. We've got great guests and wonderful messages of hope and inspiration. So let me tell you about Natalie London. You're going to love her. She is a writer and multi-instrumental performer with her band, Hey King. She graduated with a BA in political science and African American studies from Columbia University in 2011. And Natalie's debut memoir is a book called Limelight, which is a story about a girl who had 13 credits left to graduate from the Dean's List from Columbia University, was playing indie rock shows in New York City, and meeting with some of the top record labels in the country when her world was obliterated by the smallest bite of a tick. Limelight is not your average illness memoir. Natalie gives a voice to those who, like herself, refuse to accept the status quo of how one is supposed to deal with this illness, tragedy, and trauma. And I've had the great pleasure of spending time with Natalie. Just this past weekend, we were in Los Angeles together as part of the Ticked Off Music Festival series. So welcome to Limelight Radio, Natalie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you. You're such
a
dynamic. Yeah, you're so dynamic. You've got such incredible creativity. You're loaded with abundance of energy and vitality, and I'm so impressed with you. You're a great voice and person and creative individual to help those people walking the Lyme road. So it's my pleasure.
Thank you so much. We had a blast with you guys. So,
oh my God,
I'm here to play that show.
I know. We're going to have to talk about it a little bit later in the program, but the TikTok Music Fest are awesome. But I want to start, Natalie, if we could, because you have really quite a profound Lyme story. Can you tell our listeners just how Lyme disease entered your life?
I actually contracted Lyme twice, and the first time I was on a cross-country trip from Montreal to San Diego. It was my fifth time driving across the country, and I decided to get out of the car in Illinois and start running through the grass and taking pictures and laying in the grass, and I found a tick about a day later, had a bullseye rash, had everything, and literally just pulled it off, had no idea what it was. I grew up in San Diego, had never heard of it. anything about Lyme other than it was something that I kept my dogs from getting by giving the medicine. And I really never thought about it again. I ended up getting arthritis, which was told was from playing music too much since I was a little kid. And then I had insomnia, which I was told was from stress. And I had just a slew of symptoms that were all seemed very disjointed and treated individually. And yeah. What happened was a few years later, I was traveling again, and I was in Charlottesville, Virginia, and ended up in a farmhouse with a bunch of musicians after show, and woke up with a dog sleeping on me, and he was covered in ticks, and I had rashes all over my arms and legs and everywhere.
And oh my God.
So super lucky, happened twice. And from that moment on, I mean, my entire life as I knew it was gone. I was, you know, a senior in university, and I was working 3 jobs and, you know, doing awesome. And I suddenly couldn't read anything. I couldn't write papers. I couldn't write an email. So couldn't show up to work. Soon, you know, I had every, you know, kind of, you know, issue from auditory, you know, issues where I'd be talking to somebody and I wouldn't suddenly be able to hear what they're saying and I wouldn't know where I was. And I mean, it was a horrifying experience.
Oh my gosh, you poor thing. It was way into your nervous system, huh?
Oh yeah. And for me, I think like a lot of like young adults, we kind of ignore our physical problems. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. anything like, you know, so pain and sleep deprivation, it was like, hey, you know, whatever, we keep going with it and push through it. But once it entered my mind, there was nothing I could do. I couldn't come back from it. So it took over a year and a half to get diagnosed. I was hospitalized for over a month in Scripps Hospital in San Diego. I had to leave school and fly back and then hospitalized again at UCSD Thornton. And I was finally diagnosed at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles over a year and a half later and started treatment with Dr. Stephen Harris. So that's pretty crazy up in Northern
God,
California.
Natalie, so, you know, when they diagnosed you at Cedars-Sinai, someone was paying attention. Did they use one of the more advanced tests?
Well, I'm going to tell you a crazy story, but it's going to sound a little crazy out of context. What happened was, like so many patients, I was misdiagnosed with everything. And my one saving grace was that I had over 100-degree fever for over a year and a half. So it was clear to people that I had physical symptoms, not just, you know, things that they could write off as psychosomatic. So that was lucky for me, but they tested me from everything. You know, they thought I had MS and lupus and at bone marrow and spinal taps and everything. And my mom knew of a psychic in Montreal, kind of like Long Island medium lady. And we called her up and she told me to go. She said, as I'm in the hospital and they're giving up on me, and it was a very dire situation, she said, "You have Lyme." I said, "There's no way I have Lyme. They tested me. I don't have it." And she said, "You do. Get out of the hospital and go somewhere else and ask what strain you have or what." Ask for a very detailed test. Don't get the regular test. Don't do this. And she gave me all this advice, and I got out of there and went to Cedars-Sinai and spoke to them. And they tested me with Igenix, which ended up working for me. And
that's fantastic.
Found out I had Babesia and Bartonella and all of it. So they hadn't been testing for any of those things.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's fantastic at multiple levels. Number one, that you paid attention to the psychic. And
it was a crazy last process.
But so, you know what? I've had this happen to me before, too, where someone at the psychic level has been more accurate than the medical.
Oh, absolutely.
And then number two, that Cedars-Sinai used Igenix.
Yes. Yeah.
That's so, pretty big deal that they did that.
You know, what happened was I called around to lots of places trying to call any specialist I could find, and nobody could get me in touch with anybody at the time in San Diego. And somebody, as a joke, said, "You should talk to the weather girl." And I said, "What are you talking about?"
Right.
And I said, "The weather girl?" She said, "Yeah, there's a weather girl. I think she has Lyme or something. I don't know who she is or what channel." And I searched it up.
Brooke Landau, right.
Yeah, and she's the one that got me in touch with Stephen Harris. She told me every test I needed, which testing to get done. I mean, she helped save my life. It was amazing.
And
she walked through every step with my mom on all of it. I don't remember most of that time, but I mean, she walked my mom through everything that we would need to get done.
That's
and what we should be asking for specifically. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. So, I mean, so audience, I hope you're listening to this, because look at how absolutely dire the situation was with Natalie London. I mean, so many people are in those shoes that you were in, and just, you know, on all kinds of medications and trying to cope, and you can't function. And, you know, what would you say now, Natalie, like, how much of a recovery have you made?
I mean, I consider myself that I've been in remission for about 2 years. I don't have symptoms on a daily basis. I still have some pain stuff I deal with, but for me, I think I hit a point where this is my normal. I'm able to do everything that I love. I'm able to, you know, write and work and play with people and play music again, and I can talk and listen, and I don't have any
things.
And so it's like, you know, I'm sure it could always be better, could somewhere be lurking in there, but we're, you know.
That's awesome.
If it's there, we're living together in harmony.
Well, true. And I use that expression like being a healthy host. It's like, you know, if you can have your bodily systems functioning at top notch, the organism could be, as you said, burrowed in there or walled off in a cyst form or whatnot, but you can be a healthy host and rise above it. And I mean, I've seen you, you're on stage singing and, you know, a lot of wattage is that coming out of you. So you definitely
creativity
helps.
Yeah. Treatment plan. I mean, I did every single thing I could possibly do that Harris had told me to do. And then, you know, so at a point I was on, you know, 3 IVs a day, practically, you know, multiple medications and malaria medications, and then hyperbaric 2 hours a day for, it was almost, you know, 2 months or so straight. So, I mean, by the end it was, you know, that really turned everything around.
That hyperbaric is amazing. So listen, Natalie, we've got to go to first station break, and when we come back, we can talk more. So, audience, stay tuned. It's time for station break. We're visiting with Natalie London of the band Hey King and author of a brand new memoir, Limelight. Stay with us. This is Katina Makris with Limelight Radio. We'll be right back.
Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit limelightradio.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
What if there was no right or wrong way to be a great parent? Join Access Consciousness Facilitator Glenna Rice as she and Dr. Pat invite you to be the questionable parents you truly are and empower you to know and give the awareness required to create ease and joy with your children. Join Dr. Pat and Glenna as they focus on parenting for the modern family. Tune in every month to the Dr. Pat Show on air and online at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. This is Katina Makris, and we are visiting with the fantastic Natalie London of the band Hey King. And Natalie's got a new book out that I want her to tell us about called Limelight, which, hey, isn't that wonderful? It coincides with the name of my radio show, Limelight Radio.
Great minds. Great minds.
I tell you, great minds think alike, don't we?
Absolutely.
So, Natalie, tell us about your book, your memoir. Tell me how you got going with it.
I feel like this all of our stories are so crazy that whether it's to end up publishing a book or to just do it for yourself, I think it's important to kind of at least document or get through, you know, what you're going through when you're going through a disease like this, because some of it is so surreal that you almost need to write it down to be able to process it. And so that was kind of the start of it. And I've been a writer my whole life, and I didn't feel like music was the right, you know, medium to tell this kind of story. And it just sat down and wrote the first four chapters and went from there. But I think the most part was I got told a lot of advice when I was sick, a lot of things about forgiveness and about, you know, it being a blessing and these kind of things. And at the headspace that I was in, I didn't feel like there was a voice that was kind of reinforcing the things that I felt. So I wanted to be that person. One of the main ones was that you get told a lot, not by people who mean any harm whatsoever, is that if you fight long enough, you'll get your life back. And for a lot of us, that's not true. And there's something that's okay with that. And that's something that happens with long-term illnesses. People, especially in the situation I was in, you know, my roommates don't exist anymore in New York. You know, they're often getting married and having kids. And, you know, my classmates are gone and graduated. And, you know, the life that I had prior to being sick is non-existent. And I think that was a very hard thing to deal with, because you're getting told all the time that if you just hang in there, you'll get it back. And sometimes you really can't, especially after, you know, years of fighting. So when you get out of it, it's very difficult. So I think preparing yourself for that and figuring out how to kind of grieve that and then be really excited about the fact that you can kind of re-embrace a second childhood and enjoy a new life is actually a really cool way.
It is, isn't it? It's really a journey of transformation through Lyme disease, isn't it?
Absolutely. And wearing Batman long underwear on stage the other night, it was one of these, like, you know what? My old self wouldn't have done it. I would have been caring about all the little things and who you're going to do. And it's like, you know what? Just embrace. We're so lucky that we're still here, and we might as well just enjoy the moment and have fun with it and embrace, you know, that part of ourselves that remembers life prior to sickness. And
totally.
That's really important to me.
I agree with you. And really, I applaud you for, you know, writing this memoir. And as you just so eloquently shared, the journey of the grief and the loss and the transformation and then the rebirth and the enormous joy of, you know, the beauty of each day. And as you said, you know, go for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's your life. I ended up taking the life that was, you know, living in a city and worrying about all my jobs and all this stuff and trying to climb the ladder in the entertainment world to, you know, moving into an RV in the middle of a giant ranch with 460 horses and writing the book and being like, I need to just clear out and reinvite new things into my life. And I ended up through that, at least, you know, for career and everything else, making way better strides than I ever was when I was, you know, scrambling. So it's interesting. You just kind of, it teaches you to just be authentic to yourself and be, and find joy in all of it if you can.
Very, very true. So. And I think it strips you down to bare bones and then,
absolutely
bare bones. But then there's this enormous creativity that is born from it. Isn't there?
Yeah. And for me, the book, is an homage a lot to how art was pretty much the only thing that kept me company when I lost everything else, you know, when you're sitting all alone and you're, you know, mm-hmm. for just months at a time. The isolation of this disease is just beyond words. It couldn't take, you know, you can't even do it in a book. I find it's almost impossible to describe, but the only thing that kept me going is, you know, the music and, sorry, I have a brand new little puppy. And the, you know, the TV shows and the fun reruns and that kind of stuff. And that's kind of, a lot of an homage to how art does that. And then this is my way of kind of passing that along and hopefully, you know, someday doing that for somebody else. So.
Well, beautiful. Congratulations to you. How can people, how can people follow you? I mean, how can they get your book? How can they find out where you're going to be playing?
Great. Best place to follow us is at limelightmemoir.com. And we have a trailer up there for the audiobook that's coming out in June with Natasha Lyonne from Orange is the New Black, who's the narrator. And we've got our Twitter account and everything else on there that keeps up with our shows and all that kind of stuff.
That's terrific.
And talks for the book. So
that's great. Yeah. Limelightmemoir.com. That's easy to remember, people. You've got to go do that. You've got to see and hear Natalie in person too. She's a dynamo and she's loaded with creativity and fun. And which brings me to the topic of the fantastic festival we were just at together, the recent Ticked Off Music Festival in Los Angeles at House of Blues. Didn't we have a dynamite time?
That was awesome. That was a great time. Yeah. So, it was a blast to play in.
We're very fortunate to be part of this series that Greg Kirk founded. And this recent event was at House of Blues Los Angeles. And we've got another one scheduled for Atlanta the end of May. And, you know, Natalie, what was it like for you to be there part of the festival with, you know, all of this music and foundation leaders and support groups and...
Yeah, it was fantastic. You know, Greg found me. We did a festival this past year with a bunch of bands, and I think music is a great way to just bring people in and then let them know about the disease. I had a lot of friends that came out that knew nothing about it and learned with like a lot of information and were really moved by it. So I think there's definitely a way to combine the two.
Yeah, definitely. Music's a great unifier. It's a great healer. It changes the vibration. It's known in through almost every culture. Every generation mm-hmm. has used music and instruments. I mean, the vibrations heal.
Yeah.
Vibrations heal. So any last thoughts that you'd like to share with us? You know, one of my questions I sometimes like to ask my guests is, what has Lyme disease taught you?
It taught me to be a kid again. You know, I guess that would be the bottom line, is that, you know, you see the worst parts of yourself and the scariest parts. And if you can get to the other side, which you can, it just takes a lot longer than we hope. It's one of those things where I used to just keep saying that I hope this cave turns out to be a tunnel. You're walking in the dark a really long time until you're not. And, you know, when you get out of it, you just got to not look back and just keep going and embrace, you know, whatever parts of yourself that you want to focus on and feed. So
really wisely said.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and
really.
One of the things, if your listeners or if anybody, we're very interested in continuing to do festivals and to go to different towns with bands, and we'd love to work with anybody in all over the country to keep doing education and young adult education through concerts and letting people know about prevention and awareness. So
that's awesome. That's terrific. And I bet lots of college campuses and places like that would welcome you to perform. And as you said, bring Lyme awareness to their region. This epidemic is exploding. Every single state of the country's infected. Thank you, Natalie, for joining me today on Limelight Radio.
Greatly appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's so, great meeting you and great talking to you.
Thank you so much. And audience, stay with us. This was Natalie London joining us this afternoon, and I'll be right back after station break with a wonderful man visiting with us from Scotland. So this is Katina Macris with Limelight Radio.
Are you anxious and worried? Do you feel stuck with fear and insecurity? Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My breakthrough and empowerment program has helped thousands to overcome their emotional challenges. Join me for the upcoming Breakthrough and Empowerment video seminar series, which starts on April 8. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to find out how you can transform your life in just 3 months.
Dr. Love's Quickies.
Mary's about ready to give love the shove, because no matter what she tries, guys don't know that she's alive. To turn guys on, she needs to turn on those green lights, nonverbal cues that say, over here. Most guys won't approach unless they're cleared for landing. So ladies, to kickstart your love life, turn on those green lights and flash your pearly whites. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
Would you like to be a question with anything that comes up in your body or mind? Would you like to become totally aware and begin to function as the conscious being you truly are? Join Access Certified Facilitator Glenna Rice every month for a live teleclass where you can ask all of your questions and learn to create change in any aspect of your life. Visit GlennaRice.com today to learn more, and don't miss the next call. Join the questionable conversation today at GlennaRice.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. This is Katina Macris, and Brian Sullivan, my wonderful producer, has played that special music for us, the bagpipes, to welcome on our next guest, who I'm very happy to introduce to you, Bruce Alexander, who hails from Scotland, where he grew up, but did spend a number of years in the United States. In the mid-1980s, actually, he was a grad student at the University of Florida. And the past 10 years, he's been back in native Scotland, where Lyme disease is very misunderstood and underrecognized. And Bruce is the managing director of his own company that focuses on a prevention of Lyme disease. Isn't that correct, Bruce?
That's correct, Katina. Yeah, thanks. Hi.
Hi, welcome to Limelight Radio.
Thank you very much. And thanks for the music. Yeah.
Yes, it's my privilege to have you representing Scotland and giving us insight into the situation there and also the wonderful work you're doing. So why don't we start off by you giving us a little bit of a bird's eye view of what the situation is like in Scotland regarding Lyme disease?
Well, the situation here is quite interesting because we actually have probably the first published report of Lyme disease ever. We have one going back to 1764 when there's a report of a disease that resulted from tick bites on the island of Jura. And it sounds like it could have been Lyme disease. They actually have a lot of Lyme disease on Jura today. But we didn't really hear very much about it from that time until about 10 years ago. When I came back to this country, actually, as you pointed out, I knew about Lyme disease because it was really just starting to be recognized in the States. But when I came back here, I wasn't even sure if we had any Lyme disease here at all. And it's actually it's increased over the past 10 years, but it's still woefully underreported.
I can imagine that because for a long time, they were even trying to dismiss the notion that ticks existed in your area, right?
I wouldn't know about that because we do have ticks. And one problem we have is that we have a lot of people who are quite, you know, obviously there are a lot of people who practice outdoor pursuits here. A lot of people go shooting, a lot of people mountaineering, go hill walking, things like that. And so they're quite used to ticks, but they're not used to Lyme disease. So they're used to this idea of, okay, I got a tick on myself, so I'll just burn it off or pull it off or use any old method. And nothing will happen. It's another problem we have.
So, Bruce, first of all, that's fascinating about the island of Jura in 1764. And as you said, people there still do have many, many conditions that do resemble Lyme disease.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, it is known to be Lyme disease is there now. It has been identified as being Lyme disease. As I say, even though it was 1764, and obviously they did there was no way of testing if it actually was Lyme disease, the description does link the crippling illness to tick bites. It's quite unusual in that respect. So it's quite
mm-hmm.
good to have that.
Yeah, so now you said the figures, though, are very, very skimpy in terms of people actually coming with positive tests for Lyme disease.
It's interesting because until a couple of years ago, until 2010, Lyme disease was a notifiable illness in Scotland. It wasn't notifiable in the rest of the UK, but it was notifiable in Scotland. And that's actually stopped. It's no longer a notifiable disease. And surprise, surprise, the number of cases of Lyme disease, reported cases, has gone down, which I'm sure has got more to do with the fact that nobody's reporting it anymore. You know, they're not being reported to the same extent than actually anything to do with the true incidents.
Isn't that strange? So they actually went, they reversed it. They acknowledged it and then they changed their position on acknowledging.
There's an interesting, we have the most cases we've ever had reported is about 300, which is pretty modest for a country in this sort of area. However, the people who do the blood tests, the serology in Scotland is done in one testing centre in Inverness, and the person in charge of there has suggested that the true incidence of Lyme disease in Scotland is at least a tenth of that. It's 10 times that. And one medical practice actually in the Highlands carried out a sort of proactive study, and they found that the incidence of Lyme disease in their area if it was extrapolated to the whole of Scotland, we'd be 6,500 cases a year, which is more typical of a country this size in Northern Europe. So we probably have as much Lyme disease as other countries in Northern Europe, but we just do not have the level of awareness. It really is shocking, actually.
Oh my gosh, it's terrible, isn't it? And do you have any support groups? Do you have any common gathering of folks that are trying to support one another?
We have things like you have in the States. They have people. We had until recently, we had two Lyme disease awareness charities. One of them has folded because of just lack of support. The other one is still going on. But what this strikes me about the charities is basically what they're existing to do is say something must be done and try to convince academics to do research into a particular thing. So it's sort of, it's maybe difficult. It's not as focused as it might be. It's just trying to get people to be more aware of Lyme disease without saying, okay, what can you really do about it? You know, apart from recognize that it's a problem, what can ordinary people do about it? So I think that's a problem with charities.
Yes. So here we have now a population that is getting infected, and you have, you know, your beautiful Heather Moors, and as you said, known for hunting and camping and hiking, and people are getting exposed, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting that here in Scotland, we're also known to be not the most physically fit, healthiest population in the world. So the government's really trying to get people out there to enjoy the great outdoors and do more exercise. And what they're actually doing is exposing people more to the danger of Lyme disease because people aren't being told about this. So they want people to go out and they want to boost tourism and take advantage of obviously we've got beautiful countryside and we've got lots of things to do, but they're not giving people as much information as they should have. We had a study where we tried to raise awareness, and we actually got as far as getting questions raised in the Scottish Parliament, and the answer to the questions were raised was, well, we have a website. All you need to do is check out a website. So basically, by having a website, they think, okay, well, we're covered. Now people just have to go and get the information from a website, which obviously doesn't, it's not the best, really, is it? So.
Right, it's lacking. And then I'm imagining, as you said, you only have the one laboratory that's doing the testing, and if the laboratory is not that accurate, people are not getting...
Yeah, the method it's using is the two-tiered method that's used elsewhere. So I think it's coping with the demand. I mean, there aren't that many, obviously not many cases for testing a year. It's not like they're snowed under or anything like that at the present time. So that isn't the problem. But people need to be more aware. The general public need to be more aware, and physicians need to be more aware. There's quite a lot of ignorance among the medical profession too.
Yes, a lot of training needs to be done with the physicians, just like the United States, where they're really not given enough adequate information, both about the acute form and then, of course, the absolutely, you know, serious nature when it becomes a systemic tissue disease and affects, you know, chronic, states of organs and multiple systems of the body. There's so much education that needs to be done for the doctors.
That's true. Although we don't have much recognized Lyme disease, we do have one of the highest rates in the world of multiple sclerosis, and we have other autoimmune diseases. So it'd be interesting. I mean, there are cases of certain whether the two diseases are different manifestations of the same infection or whether they're completely different. There are cases of rare misdiagnoses. There are people who do get diagnosed with MS and they actually have Lyme disease.
Yes, that Dr. Alan MacDonald, you probably know of him. He was in that film Under Our Skin.
Yeah.
And he is working actually with clinicians in Norway right now on that very subject of MS and Lyme disease and what is the crossover or the potential misdiagnosis. And I bet Scotland would fit very much in the same parameters of study, both from your geography and your latitude and the bird pathways, the birds that fly and carry ticks. And
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I have an interesting anecdote related to that. I have a friend who was recently diagnosed with multiple sclerosis quite late in life, roughly the same age as me. So he's not a young adult anymore. But he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and he actually has family in Lyme, Connecticut. So he's been over there a few times.
Mm.
And after one of his visits, he actually came back with a bullseye rash. And he was told by his doctor that he actually had ringworm.
Oh, my gosh.
So nothing happened. So this was a few years ago. And then about last year, these other multiple sclerosis-like symptoms appeared. So he went to the doctor. When he told me about it, I said, get yourself tested for Lyme. Ask him if it's possible that what you have is Lyme disease. And the doctor said, no, this is an urban myth. Any sort of connection is an urban myth.
Oh, my gosh. You know what, Bruce?
Yeah.
Hold on, because we've got station break. Let's finish this story when we come back.
Will do, yeah.
We've got to take a break. Audience, stay tuned. We've got to finish this story with Bruce Alexander. This is Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. We'll be right back.
Encapsulations is committed to producing the most complete line of research-based nutritional supplements, from fish oil to probiotics to multivitamins and more. Available through qualified health professionals and community pharmacists, finished products are pure and hypoallergenic to optimize the long-term health of all patients, even the most sensitive. With Pure Encapsulations, you can rest assured that you're getting the purest and highest quality nutritional supplements available. Ask a qualified healthcare practitioner about Pure Encapsulations today and discover why it's the supplement brand of choice for healthcare professionals worldwide. For more information, please visit www.pureencapsulations.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Retreat to open your senses and heal your energy. Join Lynn Brown and Wendy Wolf for Amazing Astra Allies, April 30th through May 2nd in the beautiful Methow Valley. Open to more of your astral experiences. Learn intentional dreaming and receive astral body healings in this serene setting. This retreat is almost full. To register now or learn more, call 206-931-7356 today.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio. This is Katina Macris, and we're visiting with Scotland today. That's why Brian's playing the bagpipes for us. We've got Bruce Alexander with us.
Hi.
And hi, Bruce. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's finish this story. My gosh, we're learning about this friend of yours.
Yeah.
Who was diagnosed with MS. It sounded like he had multiple exposures to Lyme disease. So finish us up here.
Yeah, well, what he did was, at his insistence, the doctor reluctantly gave him a blood test. The blood test came back negative, as so many do. And the doctor actually said to him, I hope you realize that if this comes back positive, we'll have to give you a spinal tap. So he's sort of warning him that you better not come back positive, or you're going to have this nasty thing. Instead of, so basically, the blood test came back negative. The doctor clearly didn't want to do anything to actually look for the parasite in cerebrospinal fluid. So there we are. My friend's got multiple sclerosis. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. But that's what he's been treated for. So.
Wow. And he had that classic bullseye rash, and
it
sounds like...
2 years ago, yes, and I was told it was ringworms. So.
Oh, my gosh. Poor fellow. You know, there's that good laboratory in Germany. Maybe he could possibly get tested there, but it's a terrible situation. This is going from country to country around the globe like this with so much misunderstanding and lack, as you said, of doctor education and patient, a lack of a public awareness. And
yeah.
So that brings us up to your work. So let us learn what you've been doing, because I can tell you're committed to the situation.
Yeah. Well, it really annoys me, the fact I don't think anybody should get Lyme disease. I mean, there are so many points at which you can stop it. So if people know what the risks are and they can access treatment quickly, they really shouldn't have any problem at all. They shouldn't have this horrible disease that takes over their lives and ruins their lives. So my approach and my background is in disease-carrying insects. And I've been mostly field-based. I've always been interested in finding solutions that ordinary people can use without any special training or any sort of additional involvement from outside. So what I thought was, I was struck by the fact that here we have, in Scotland and elsewhere, we have a situation where there are lots of ways of removing ticks. There are tick removal tools available, many different ones available. And whether or not they're 100% effective, I mean, you've got to remember that a lot of people using these are people who are absolutely disgusted by the thought of ticks and don't want to touch them and are going to make a mess of it. Mess of pulling a tick out in the first place. But the thing is, there's no real link between removing the tick and diagnosis of Lyme disease. A lot of people think, okay, I got the tick out, I got most of it out, or maybe I got all of it out, or I used one of these special tools, and they throw the tick away, and then it's a case of waiting around for symptoms. And obviously symptoms can be confused with other things. Sometimes symptoms are not as severe as in other cases, and doctors will get it wrong sometimes. Doctors will misdiagnose it or say you don't have anything or don't worry about it. And you get to a situation where you actually have the risk of this getting to the disseminated stage.
Mm.
So what I thought was, what a good idea would be if you could have a tick removal tool, a new type of device, whereby you actually could, anybody could use it. You wouldn't have to touch the tick. You wouldn't have to position it properly. There'd be no knack to using it. It would be really, really simple to use. The first time you used it, you'd be perfectly capable of using it. And And this device would remove the tick safely, but it would also collect the tick. So the tick would be collected up into the device, into a cartridge within the device, immobilized, and then you could take the cartridge out. The device would be sold with special packaging, and there'd be a system whereby you could send the tick with the in this packaging to an accredited lab, and you could have actually find it if the tick that bit you was infected with Borrelia, or it could be used for other tick infections as well. So you're transferring the diagnosis, if you like, from the person, which is a lot trickier, to the tick. Now, obviously, the fact that you've been bitten by an infected tick doesn't necessarily mean that you have Lyme disease or any other tick-borne infection, but obviously the chances are a lot higher, you wouldn't want to take the risk. So you could actually get the result back a lot quicker, and you could access treatment a lot faster than waiting for, and then depending on a doctor to diagnose your symptoms, or you waiting for symptoms, and then maybe doing a confirmation by a blood test or something like that. So speeded up a lot.
That's fantastic. So have you been able to produce and patent this product?
I'm holding off. I've got a lot of the information. I'm holding off on the patent, just depending on where I get some backing, because the fact is some countries like the patent to be in their particular country. And what I'm really struggling with here in Scotland is, not surprisingly, I'm basically trying to tell people that they should be investing in or a disease that's not that important it's not considered to be that important. The severity isn't recognized here. The danger isn't recognized here. So it's a bit of a struggle. It's been a struggle so far. So
yes.
I keep trying, and I will keep trying, but it would probably be, I'd really be better off in a country like the States or in a lot of countries in Europe where there is better awareness in Europe as well.
Yes. Well, that's fantastic though, Bruce. I applaud you for creating this, and let's get the word out so that you can get a patent and carried, perhaps, as you said, in different countries of the world. So how could people reach you?
They can reach me. We have a website, garrapat.com. That's GARRAPAT.
So they can get
onto that. I can leave a message, and we can get in touch.
That's terrific. I love that. So, audience, I hope you got that. Spell it again for us, Bruce.
That's GARRAPAT. Hope people can understand my accent. In Florida, imagine.
That's a great accent, a beautiful accent. So, well, congratulations, Bruce, on your ingenuity. And also, I really honor you for being so passionate and committed to helping your country and really many countries of the world fight this terrible illness that has decimated so many lives and created such chronic states of illness. And thank you for giving us a bird's eye view of what's going on in Scotland and for sharing your time with me today.
Yeah, thanks. Basically, just to finish very briefly, what I want to do, obviously, is produce this product, but this would allow people to actually participate in data gathering, because any lab would be receiving all these samples, could collect all this information, and it could help in estimating the extent of the problem in different countries and also raising awareness. So people would actually be empowered to do something about Lyme disease rather than just sort of trying to press academics to do
right
particular things.
I think that's terrific. It's multi-leveled, early diagnostics, and also, as you said, sample studies and help get statistics all around the world. So thank you, Bruce. We've run out of time. Audience, I hope you've loved our show today. You can always listen to our archives, limelightradio.com, to go listen to today's show or any of the other shows from the past. We are also archived on iTunes. Thank you for joining me this week. Next week, Mara Williams will be guest hosting. Thank you, Bruce Alexander, Natalie London, and of course, my producer, Brian Sullivan. This is Katina Makris with Limelight Radio. Enjoy your day, and we'll be tuned in again next week.
Listening to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready for some of the most provocative conversation with leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. If you've missed any part of this hit radio show, visit LimelightRadio.com. That's LimelightRadio.com. We'll see you next week on Limelight Radio with Katina Macris.
Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please.